Okay, y'all, I didn't even do the intro on last week's episode, so we're gonna start this off real professional. You are going to have some grace with me today. I am currently, oh my gosh, I'm coping. I'm coping. My therapist would say, like, I'm trying, well, I dissociate. If you don't know what that is, it's when you like remove yourself mentally from a situation, but it is the first day of school. And you know me, I plan some podcast episodes ahead, but rarely do I ever plan podcast episodes ahead because I want to speak from the heart to you. And speaking in the heart means me speaking in the moment, okay? And oh, the intro. We didn't even do. Okay. Welcome to the After Hours with Amanda podcast, the podcast that's about parenting, but not just for parents. Okay. We'll try and keep it. I mean, it's also about McDonald's, Coke, and the iced coffee that I'm currently drowning my sorrows in. Thank God I have therapy tomorrow. Lord knows I will have a laundry list of things to talk with her about since I haven't been in 2 weeks. She was on vacation. We were getting ready for school. I don't take away the value of the therapy, but if it's going to cause me more stress, my therapist and I agree. Like, Carrie knows, all right, maybe we're just doing a phone call. Maybe we're doing a text. Maybe we're doing a Zoom. Maybe I've completely left the building and I'll see you next week kind of thing. But it's the first day of school, and it's hard because can I just be real with you for a moment? And first off, I want to put a disclaimer, massive disclaimer on this episode. I do not judge anybody's parenting. I would not deign to believe in any world that I have any type of authority that says I'm right and you're wrong in a variety of areas of life, but especially parenting, because what works for me in my life experience might not work for you because that's not how your experience was framed, okay? So let's just promise ourselves in this episode that we will not personally take on other people's convictions or other people's needs or other people's non-needs. Okay, we will not take away from ourselves. We will not demean ourselves. How one person is successful or unsuccessful doesn't add value or take value from us. I always tell my girls, if my girls want a compliment and they're feeling down on themselves, I say, ask for what you need, girl. You want me to tell you something great about yourself? You say, Mom, I need a little encouragement. Okay. However, if I am complimenting one of the tiny humans and they say, but you don't say that to me. I go, whoa, whoa, boo, hold up. Let's take it back a notch, okay? When I give someone else a compliment, it does not take away from you. We should be able to encourage others without discouraging ourselves. Say that again. I should be able to hear someone be encouraged without it making me feel discouraged, okay? Like put that on a post-it somewhere. That's one of my favorite things I tell the girls. Another person's encouragement should not be your discouragement. Mantra to yourself. Right? I talk about this all the time. My girlfriend Cindy is the queen of activities. Her kids do all the things, they're at all the things, and she thrives. I do not. I am the acts of service. Let me buy you a gift. Let me do this. Let me do that. And Cindy does that too, but it looks different for both of us. Okay. But it's why we're such good friends. I can see her and admire her and be excited for her. And if that doesn't work for me, I'm okay with that. I feed my needs in other ways, and she does the same thing. But on today's episode, I want to talk about this really weird space where I have gotten to in mom life, motherhood, whatever you want to call it, where I'm sometimes the messy mom, but I'm sometimes the I've got it together mom, but I am the mom that is sad when her kids go back to school. And like, don't get me wrong, like, am I thrilled for them? Yes. Do I encourage them? Am I like, get that independence? You are ready. Yes. But does it leave me sad? Yeah. It's hard though, because I find myself making apologies for myself when other people are excited their tiny humans are going back to school. And like, I'm here for it. Janet, get those errands done. Sarah, run to the grocery store without having to worry about, kids wanting all the things or functional things like that, right? But I enjoy my tiny humans and their presence and their essence and who they are. And I said this today in a TikTok I posted because I was overwhelmed by London's goodness. I'm gonna tell you what this girl did. Do you wanna know what this little queen did, my God? Okay. She is just like, I could not be her. Like when I was 8, I was not at this level of her. And I am so grateful for her because She is aspirational to me in how she is to humans. She is constantly checking me, like, mom, hey, in a loving way. But like, she, like the other day, we were stopped at a stoplight. So everybody just, you know, hold on to your panties. We're stopped at a stoplight. My phone dinged. I picked it up and she goes, ooh, mom, you might not want to check that. What if the light changes? And I was like, you know what, girl? You're right. You're right. I have my watch on. If it's urgent, someone will call. We can answer on the call. Like, we don't need this. Okay. You're right. So she goes to school today and she has this doll, Lucy. And Lucy has definitely become like a staple in our house, y'all. Lucy is part of La Familia. Okay. Mi casa es su casa. Like, she's got her own space in London's room. She is living large with the outfits London likes to get her. And this is just this adorable little Target doll we bought for $20. And I love her. And she has like a nightgown and a church outfit London got her and a bathing suit. And like, so sweet. And she, London knew I was feeling, you know, down. And she goes, are you sad we're going back to school? I said, I'm excited for you. I'm bummed for me because I just like hanging out with you guys. And she's like, you know, mom, that's okay. That's okay. And I'm like, you know what? I love you. Thank you for accepting my feelings as they are, but not owning them, right? My big things with my tiny humans is I'm going to be open with you about my feelings, but you don't need to own them in that way, right? You don't need to feel responsibility for me when you're at school. You need to be responsible for yourself. Mommy's fine. She just likes to watch Daniel Tiger with you, and she's a little selfish in that. She likes to do that, okay? So Lennon leaves me this list of things to do for Lucy, and I've got it on a paper towel here. And if you saw my TikTok or Instagram, you probably already have your visual aid. But it says, like, feed Daniel Tiger, put down for nap, do all the things, right? She said, I want you to have someone to take care of. And I'm like, queen, thank you. I need some responsibility in my life. And she folds the bottom of the paper towel, right? Like, first off, can we just talk about the fact that she is my child? She did not go look for a piece of paper, which would have been practical. She just grabbed what she had near her, which was a paper towel and a marker out of my junk drawer. And she wrote on it. And I was here for it because, first off, I see that as resourceful. So she leaves me this list. She goes, mom, you can't unfold the bottom of it till you get home. Let's take a sip of iced coffee. We can already tell from the level of how quickly I'm speaking and my energy today, I have had too much, okay? But you know what? It's my coping skills and I've come a long way. So she gives me this list. I get home and I'm not expecting anything insane, right? Oh my gosh, y'all. I think I can get through this telling this like for the 8th time because I called everyone I knew to tell them this because I was so honored that she, so London learned about poetry this summer, her school. They did book reports over the summer and they did some poetry reading over the summer. And so she writes at the bottom of it, it says poetry to let me know that this is strictly a poem. I need to realize this is a poem. So she straight up wrote out poetry, which, okay, I love it. And it says, the years may go by quick, but our love for you will be forever. And when I tell you I sobbed, let me tell you, this was the ugliest cry. And I don't even like saying ugly cry, but I'm talking like uncontrollable cry. And do you want to know what? It's not just the sweetness of who she is as a human. It's not just the empathy and self-awareness to put her in my shoes. It's not just the fact that she knew that the reason that I missed them was because their presence makes me feel loved. Oh, here we go again. It's the first day of school. I'm allowed to cry as much as I want. It is the fact that it reminded me, as I have told you before on that episode where we talk about mom life and not wishing for who you were, that I have never met a butterfly who wished to be a caterpillar. I mean, have you? Every story you read about a caterpillar is about them wanting to be a butterfly. Even the adorable, little caterpillar in a bug's life. Okay. When he gets his wings, oh my goodness. I mean, the excitement level of that little caterpillar in a bug's life. And his little wings don't even really, I mean, they're not huge wings. They're not giant, but Heimlich is so excited, right? He's like, oh, my wings, right? And here's the thing. See, there was this point in mom culture, in mom life, in the world, and this goes with any kind of area of life, you know, whoever you are, student, athlete, parent, not parent, aunt, uncle, job, corporate, work home, entrepreneur, whatever you want to be. there are different boxes and rhetoric and things that are kind of like a staple in that environment, right? And in mom life, it is, oh, wow, things are so crazy. My life is a mess. And here's the thing. I am in absolutely no way saying, I want to say this very plainly, mom life can be absolutely messy. And I love the inclusivity and loving openness that we have created where moms are allowed to share that struggle and lean on each other. That is paramount in a world where before it was like, oh no, you just got to have it together. You got to be on at all times. You're just your mom. Don't show any cracks. Don't show any weaknesses, right? But what's happened is I feel like there's been this huge, massive shift. And the shift has come in making everything in our life that's crazy or not going well or is about being a mom, right? It's like, oh no, it can't be that you were this person before. It has to be you're not getting that done before because of your kids. And let me tell you something. 2020 was a real eye-opener, I'm sure, for a lot of people. But do you know what it showed me? All the shoulda, coulda, wouldas I said I would do if I was stuck at home or I had more time, I did absolutely none of them. And do you know who that fell on? That fell on me. It wasn't because my kids were distance learning, because my tiny humans were in school previously, right? And it wasn't because my job wouldn't allow it, because there's no commute time. I actually lost my job and started a new job, you know? So the excuses that I had for this life is happening to me attitude, they kind of fell away because I didn't have them anymore. Because where was I going? There was nothing open. There was nowhere to go. There was no schedule to keep. And it leads me to this thing that we have created, this belief of discontentment in mom life, right? This feeling of, I miss my old self so much, right? She was so much better. Right? She was so cool. She was so free. She was so, well, do you want to know what Amanda before kids was? Amanda before kids was also anxiety ridden. Amanda before kids also had a lot of trauma that she hadn't taken care of. Amanda before kids was also way less accepting and loving and empathetic. Like, have I always been loving and empathetic? Yes. Was I also kind of a judgmental asshole at some points in my life? 100%. Because we all go through a refining. Okay. We all are refined by the fire, right? And what I want to tell you is that mom life is not happening to you. It's actually this incredible process that's happening for you. This process is happening for you because when you look at a caterpillar going to that butterfly, the caterpillar literally explodes. It's disgusting. It's messy. It's bloody. But never once does that caterpillar go, oh God, oh, I'm this butterfly now. What is this? I have to fly now? Oh God, the weather's awful. Do you see this smoke? What are these flowers? I want to go back to being on the ground, eating my leaves. Now, in moments of comfort, do we want to go back to that? Yeah. In moments of ease and safety, do we want to go back to that? Yes. But do you know what that uncomfortableness of motherhood and mom life actually is? It's you developing as a person. It's you literally becoming who you're meant to be. And the reason that it's so uncomfortable is because it's pushing you daily. And what you have to realize is that it's not that tiny little human being that's pushing you and creating all this strife. It's actually this beautiful process of you developing. But see, we've fed people this rhetoric, this belief that, oh, this ball and chain of motherhood, you'll be free once they get to school. Don't worry about the silence. And here's what I'm not saying. So don't hear what I'm not saying with this. I am not saying, oh, soak up every moment where you feel literally drained to capacity, like you're going to pass out, that you need to hide in the bathroom, that you're on the brink of tears because you're so tired and stressed, because you're exhausted from doing all and trying to be all. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that you can shift your perspective, that you don't have to buy into this, well, this is just the ball and chain that I carry now, the burden. You can see it as like, oh my gosh, this kick-ass person lives with me, right? They're pretty cool. Like, let me tell you about some things, dude or dudette. Like, let's have a combo about this. Let's chat it out. My tiny humans encouraged me to get almond-shaped nails. And this may not be a big deal for you, but I was literally living under this like belief that I was not an almond-shaped nail person. Oh, I could never. I don't have that energy. Girl, you know what I have now? I have bad bitch butterfly energy. You can be that. You can do that. It is literally you building these, I'm not that person, right? I'm not that mom. I always tell myself I'm not a Pinterest mom. And what I mean by that is according to other people's expectations, I might not be a Pinterest mom. But you know what I can be? I can be the mom that does creative things for my kids without boxing myself in and saying, oh, I could never, so I won't ever. It's the same thing for you as a person. Before I had started therapy, I was always like, I hate exercise. I'm not an exercise person. It does nothing for me. And I told myself that every single solitary day. And when you tell your things, these things to yourself every day, you believe them, because what you feed your mind is the same thing as what you feed your body. If you feed yourself rhetoric that's trash to who you are, you're going to feel like trash because you're treating yourself like trash by talking to yourself like trash. And I always tell people, would you talk this much smack to your friends? Like, would you talk this much smack to your significant other? Then why are you treating yourself this way? Honey, come on. Step up and step out. Because you do not need to feed yourself whatever you've been doing from now, right? Mom, not mom, whoever you are, wherever you are, you can start feeding yourself. And I'm not talking like, if you want to manifest or all that stuff, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that you can feed yourself positive thoughts about yourself. And that doesn't mean you're not going to have days like I have today where I just feel like a stain, literally puddle. I don't want to go anywhere, most likely. I mean, I have a work call after this, but I just really want to sit and watch Law & Order CI, not go anywhere and get a Taco Bell bean burrito. Who knows? I might still do those things and be a productive adult. Doing those things doesn't make me an unproductive, quote unquote, adult. It means that I'm having a moment, okay? And I'm allowed a moment. I'm allowed as many moments as I need. But what I am saying is that this belief that your kids are keeping you from this epic life that you would have lived is just bullshit. It is. Because if you take the tiny humans out of your life, I want you to actually look and really, really pause. Would you have gone after that job you think you would have done? Would you have gone on that trip you said you would have gone on? Or is being their mom preparing you for this incredible, I'm going to call her a bad bitch butterfly, BBB, that you're about to be, the BB you're about to be. Like, what if she's being created in this? What if they are a part of your process? What if you are blessed with who they are because it's helping you become who you were meant to be? What if who she was is not who you could never, what if who she was is not who you need to be? What if you're going to be her? The future you. What if this messiness of the tiny humans and the vomit and the spit and the feeling like you can't get ready and the five-day-old shirt, what if the baby weight, which everyone focuses so much, right? Like, oh, before I had kids, I could do this or I was this and this. What if that is just all a part of your cocoon and the person you're morphing into? And what if actually your physical aspect has nothing to do with who you're becoming? What if that physical aspect is getting too much of our focus when that's not really the point? You know what I mean? I read this really cool quote, and I want to get it right because I'm going to get it wrong because Lord knows I get it wrong all the time. What? I'm going to find it. I'm going to find it right now for you, and I'm going to read it to you because when I read this, I literally, my brain just like functionally stopped, okay? When we talk about mindset, I said that five times fast. Mindset, I almost said mind shit. Mindset shifting. What if we talk about a full-on paradigm shift, right? What if, and here's one of those things, when I read this, I was like, I can't even believe this. What if when we look at our tiny humans and we're having those moments, or they're having those moments, we remind ourselves, and here it is, they're having a hard time. Not giving me a hard time. What if you saw yourself in that light in relationships? What if when someone came to you and said, you're giving me a hard time, you said, no, I'm having a hard time. There's a difference. See, because being a mom has functionally changed me as a person. And I want to tell you in a lot of ways why that's so cool. Why that's so cool is I've spent way less time worrying about what other people thought. See, I grew up with a mom who loved me very much, but in this very, very heavy, responsible way for me. I felt very responsible for her. She had had a very traumatic childhood. I was very aware of that. She did not know how to carry her trauma. Okay. And she didn't get a lot of help with it. Okay. And so what it meant was I felt very responsible. And it also meant that my identity was solely found in hers. Have you ever stopped sometimes and you question yourself and you're like, when people are like, what do you like to do? And you get anxiety? Or is that just me? Is that just me? Is that just me when someone says, what are your hobbies? And I'm like, I like to color. And literally that's the only thing I can come up with. I like to color. See, because before my mom passed away, I could have told you 10,000 things I like to do, but none of which I actually functionally like knew whether or not I liked to do them or what that was just what I was told I liked to do, right? And there came this point in therapy when I'm working on myself and I'm like, wait, functionally, what do I like to do? And see, what's helpful about that is when you become a mom, people spend so much time telling you, like, don't let the kids take over your life. And just so you know, kids actually at some point have to take over a part of your life because they can't functionally function without you. So there is a point where they're going to need more, and you giving that is not you letting the child run your life. This mentality grinds my gears. It frosts my cookies when people are like, you can't let the child determine. I'm like, well, they're a year old and they're tired and they're crying because they're tired. And yeah, I could be like, well, you're not going to determine what I'm going to do. But that little person can't fight for that nap time that they need right now. So actually, there's no power struggle going on here. But people feed us that power struggle real early on. Oh, don't let the tiny human tell you what to do. Oh, it literally starts. Oh my gosh, my brain just exploded. It literally starts with them when they're hungry or when they start to cry. Oh, they're trying to control you. That 9-month-old is straight up manipulating you because they know what that means. I'm like, girl, they just started realizing what color was. Like, they're just starting to notice things around them. What do you mean they're manipulating me? They don't even understand how to talk. I say manipulation. They just look at me. It's like, wah, 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 wah. Charlie Brown. Okay. It's a Charlie Brown teacher. Let's be honest. And here's the thing. It doesn't have to be a power struggle. And you want to know why it doesn't have to be a power struggle? Because for them to exist, you don't have to not exist. And for you to exist, they don't have to not exist. It's called coexisting. And as you continue to create space for yourself to develop, you can give them that same gift to create space for them to develop, rather than just you being like, I'm going to develop and you need to be who I need you to be. Because let me tell you, I have discovered so much about myself by realizing that I want my tiny people to be who they are. So I need to show them functionally how to do that too. So my style has changed. My hair has changed. My makeup has changed. The way I do things have changed. And you know what? I owe that in large part to them. Because Paige the other day looked at me when I was going to get my nails done. And I really knew what I kind of wanted, but I was like, oh, I'm not that person. And Paige was like, what do you want? And I was like, I don't know. And she's like, yeah, you do. And I was like, I don't know if it's me. And she's like, you can do what you want, mommy. And I'm like, yes, girl, that is butterfly energy. Give me that butterfly energy. See, because you don't have to see motherhood as this breakdown of who you are. You can see it as this buildup moment. You don't have to wish for the caterpillar when you know you're functionally becoming a butterfly. They are not the source of why you're not doing those things because, honey, did you do it before? Were we doing it before? And the answer for me is no. It's a hard no. I was not doing it before. There was nothing so great or epic I was going to do that having tiny people really impeded me. And even if it did throw a clink in your chain, like our third one was unexpected, right? Corey was literally the gift I didn't know I needed. Like I had no idea I needed her. I didn't even know the energy she was going to bring to my life. And oh my gosh, I sobbed. And I tell you guys this, I cried. I was devastated. No, we just got to this place. Oh my Lanta, y'all, if that tiny person didn't exist, Neither would TikTok. Neither would my life. Neither would any of the things that I do. Neither would this podcast. If my tiny people didn't exist, I wouldn't be talking to y'all here, sharing life. It wouldn't be like this. I joke with the girls all the time. They're like, "Mommy, what do you do?" I'm like, I share life about you. And they're like, "So like what?" And I tell them and they're like, "Wait, so your job, like we're a part of your job?" And I'm like, "No, girl, I wouldn't have my job without you. I'm literally employed because of you." Paige telling me to go get my nails done in an almond shape. She didn't say get it done, but she said, "You know what you want. You can do what you want." Gave me the boost of confidence I needed. And I still was apologetic to Julie at the nail salon. Thank God Julie had that same butterfly energy and was like, "No, girl, I got you. I got you. Believe me. Let's do this." And it's funny because it's this real weird getting back to the being sad the kids are going to school after summer. It's this hard place that I have found myself in because I never want someone to feel like, "Oh, well, I'm going to miss my kids and you're not." But at the same time, I want to exist in a place where I can miss them and still be with the person who doesn't miss them without them feeling judged. I don't want to feel judged either. See, because you can share about the trials and the struggles of motherhood, but you need to share about them in the context of your life too. Because the laundry getting done is not because of my children. It's because of me. And the fact that I'm like literally put off things and procrastinate is not because of my kids. I just use that as my excuse. And what I realized, and a big realization of me being like, "Ooh, Amanda, check yourself," was me realizing that actually that's on me. That's on me. But yet I use my tiny people, right, in situations where it's convenient, and I make them the reason. So when people hear about life and we hear about the struggles of motherhood, instead we're saying we're struggling because we're tired because we don't have support, or instead of us saying we're struggling, we're tired because mentally we need help, or instead of saying that we're tired and we're struggling because we're lonely, we say it's because of motherhood. And is motherhood a contributing factor to the, some of those things? 100%. It changes your life. It changes dynamics. It's functionally different. But if someone talked about marriage that negatively all the time, would you want to get married? If someone talked about owning a dog that often that negatively, because let me tell you what, this last week, Stella, I have come home. Girlfriend has pooped in her crate. She literally had some feminine issues, bled all over my carpet. I have spent more time taking care of dog issues this week than any of my tiny humans. But do you see me out there talking about how devastating and annoying it is to be a quote unquote dog mom? Oh, the struggle. It's horrible. I can't stand it. No one would ever buy or adopt a dog again if all people talked about was that. And see, what I've learned with the back to school summer thing is that everybody's different as a parent. And I want that pendulum of mom life to be a safe place, to be, oh, you guys, I'm popular. To be a safe place for people to share, to be that place where we can, but this mentality that they are the cause, it's just not true. Yes, it is more responsibility. You're taking care of a human life. But they aren't the reason for all of the things. And is it really fair when they functionally can't do stuff to put that on them? Let's look at this for a moment. If you were in a relationship and all the person ever talked about, and I've said this before in videos or and on the podcast, was how good life was before they had you, right? Like say Blake and I, you know, we've been married for 11 years now, and say he was like, "Oh, I love you so much, honey. It is so good to be married to you. But can I just tell you all the amazing things I did before we met?" And not in like this cool way, like, oh, I traveled. Oh, that's so cool, Blake. Oh my gosh, honey, I love that for you. But in this, like, oh my gosh, I need to have a drink tonight. You're so much to deal with. Oh my gosh, I got to get out of town. You're so much to deal with. And I am not saying anything about having a glass of wine, so don't go there. You know, get me a good spritzer. Okay, I love a good spritzer. But what I'm saying is that when you tie that to the relationship of the person, I love you so much, honey. Marriage is so great, but honestly, I just can't stand, like, I can't right now. You're annoying me, right? Like, and I'm not saying that this doesn't happen. So again, don't hear what I'm not saying. What I'm saying is that when that is the baseline and that is the type of environment that we are creating and that we're surrounded by, because there really is this. People say that moms should love and accept each other all the time, but I'll tell you what, there's so much toxic mom culture out there on every level. Every level. Like, if we could just look at each other and be like, hey, this is my gift. Hey, this is your gift. Oh, I don't like that. Oh, I don't like that. Hey, you know what? We could still have coffee and shoot the shit. But it can't. It's like this. I either love my kids too much and I'm a freaking weirdo, or I either can't stand them and I'm a messy mom and I have wine. There's no middle ground anymore. And it's really something that we need to shift, because that middle ground isn't caused by the tiny people, or excuse me, that lack of middle ground. It's caused by who we are as people. It's caused by our own insecurities and feeling judged. It's caused because we see other people's encouragement as our discouragement. And I get caught in that trap too, y'all. Oh, I get caught in that trap. Don't even get me started on children's lunches. The amount of guilt that one could live off of just on children's lunches alone, my God. I can't. Like, I'm not going to dice up a thousand tiny different things with dressings and but do you want to know something? I think it's kick ass that some of those women do. I'm like, you know what, you guys, I can't do that level, but do you know what you inspired me? I'm switching out Cheetos for Pirate's booty this week because Paige was annoyed by orange hands last week and I'm winning, right? Like, we can live in this world, because here's what I want to tell you, what I'm learning. And I'm learning, let's say this again, I'm learning, okay? What I am learning currently is motherhood, as I enter this new season, which is literally soul murdering to me, because I'm having to get used to them functionally being able to do things that I for so long have gotten to do for them, that I get to do. And I'm starting to see those moments as very important micro moments. Me doing their hair, them asking me to get them dressed or help them with something, because functionally, they will not need me to do a lot of things as they grow up. That's my goal. Like, I want to help you. But here's the secret that people won't talk about. Functionally, they might not need you. But emotionally and mentally, the things you can't see, that is only going to increase. That need is only going to get bigger. So if we don't shift this paradigm of being in this young age where everything is messy and terrible and horrible and we're dying inside, right? Like, if we don't switch that to see that when that goes away, right? When the functionality of diaper changing and breastfeeding and them out of the house and in school, when you reach that quote unquote place where you can breathe, you have to step back and think, whoa, 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 hold up. Actually, yeah, sure, they can wipe their own butt. Yeah, they can go to the bathroom by themselves. Yeah, they can put on socks and shoes by themselves. But wait a second. There is a hidden need underneath that that's bigger than shoes, that's bigger than the body. Shockingly, you guys, there's something bigger than potty training. Oh, man. We should do an episode on potty training. Okay. We need to change our mindset on that. I'm going to talk to you about that one because that helped me with my second and third. London, I regret how, like, I owe her apologies on apologies for my mentality with potty training when I tried her. But you know what? It's your first and you're allowed to learn. But the emotional and the mental need that arises. I saw it right when London started kindergarten. It only increased in first grade and now in second grade. Because when you're raising tiny humans and they're empathetic and they're like London, I don't know how the other two are going to be, but London is very aware of people. She picks up on absolutely everything. Nothing can sneak by this girl. like a mood, an eye, a sigh. My God. Okay. Like she would be, I feel like I'm like, are you going to be going to therapy? Maybe she's going to be like an FBI profiler or something. An FBI profiler or something. I don't know, because she is tuned in. But her needs are that much more. And I have to remind myself of that. Because I don't want to live in this place where the only thing I'm concerned about is them functionally doing things so I can be relieved. Because it makes it seem this ball and chain. Like, is there things to celebrate? Yes. Hell yes. Milestones? You celebrate those. You celebrate the fact that you have helped another human poop in a toilet. You celebrate the fact that you have helped another human remember their things, do their homework. Like, yes. But this mentality that you get to this place where they're functionally doing things and then it's like, ooh, okay, we did it and life's not going to be messy anymore. No, that doesn't shift unless your mindset does. Because you're always going to feel dragged down by that mindset. It's going to feel like a crab in a bucket. And you're going to feel like that in your unit, in your space, in whatever your family consists of. If it feels like a power struggle for who you are versus who they are, and you feel like you have to make the choice, you or them, that us versus them mentality, it just doesn't have a place anywhere. It's what causes a lot of our issues in the world. But if we look at this process of coexisting with our tiny people and developing ourselves while they're developing, when I see my tiny humans and they're sad I'm going out or I'm doing something, I look at them and I go, girl, do you love to go to a birthday party? And my girls, I mean, 10 out of 10, yes. Oh my gosh, send me to a party, okay? Do you like to go hang out with your friends? Oh, mommy, yes, I do. Do you love when I sit and I let you do your thing? Oh, mommy, I love it. Okay, baby, then that's what I'm going to go do. Oh, okay. No, it's not that I need to be away from you. It's that I need to go feed me as a person. And I'm going to help you feed you as a person. Let's schedule that play date. Let's go spend some time together. On the flip side, mommy's going to go to dinner with daddy. Or mommy's going to be on the phone with her friend for a minute. And then do you know what? Do you want to FaceTime one of your friends? Would you? It can be a beautiful exchange where you can coexist, where you both can go through seasons of that caterpillar nature and becoming a butterfly. Because let me tell you what, you are going to level up that butterfly. Okay. She's going to level up. She's going to keep leveling up because you're going to continue to develop. And instead of just being this butterfly that comes and kind of like has different, imagine it. Like as you develop, so do those wings. And instead of just being yellow or a black butterfly or just one with little, you're going to be wings that are like stained glass with color and depth and so many other things. Because coexisting with each other and feeding each other's souls with that is the beauty of motherhood. It is not they are doing this to you. It is not they are keeping me from who I am. You can develop into who you are. There will be seasons where they need more. And that's just how it is. There will be seasons where you need more. But when your season comes, they will be able to understand that because we have coexisted by giving them theirs. See, I don't want to raise tiny humans to just go and be in the world. I want to raise tiny humans that I get to spend time with when they're adults. That I can be like, dude, let me tell you this one story. One time you pooped your pants in the Target. Like, I want to be able to live that life with them. I want to be able to share that with them. It's like I told Lennon right now, being an adult, it's simply a definition in the dictionary. Because you know what? It's only defined by age. Being an adult should be defined by attitude and a way we deal with things. Because frankly, how I deal with some things, I could be defined as a child. And in some situations, I could be defined as an adult or what people want to say it is. But I always tell my girls, don't look at it as a child as childish. And don't look at it as an adult as just like so much better and they've got it together, because that's not true. Maturity is a mindset. How you treat others is a mindset. Because when you become an adult, you don't suddenly change into this person who's just like so good and so developed. I'm just not childish at all. And being a Disney adult such as myself and running around to find certain characters is not childish. It's me being myself. And I've been that way since I was a quote unquote child. I don't need an age to tell me who I am. That belief age is just a number. That's right on. And I'm not saying that for people who want to act youthful. I am saying that because the functionality of how we treat our tiny humans and who they grow to be, that depends on a lot on how we support them. And us growing as humans into older humans depends a lot on how we develop ourselves and how our tiny humans have been shown that. Because I look at London, and London is leaps and bounds more mature than I am in a lot of situations. And in a lot of situations, she's not, because she's freaking 8 years old and she has not as much practice as I have. But then I remind myself, has she had as much practice at coping with things? Or have I just had more practice at pretending things? And she's just being honest. So I want to encourage you today to not have to pick this side of like, I'm messy or I'm not messy or I'm this or I'm that. Stop looking for that identity and start developing who you are, because you are many things besides a mom. And becoming a mom doesn't have to become the all-encompassed title. We feed ourselves that rhetoric. We feed ourselves that we can't coexist with them being ourselves and them being them. We tell ourselves that it's not just a season that we're going through, that that's life and that's the whole thing and that's it. The end all be all. It's over from here on out. Don't expect anything from yourself. But it's just not true. Their encouragement does not have to be your discouragement. And that's what I got for you today on this first day of school. Can I tell you something? I'm going to tell you a little bit. I'm going to end this. This is kind of, I don't know why this came to mind. It's a little bit of a heavy note, but I'm going to share it anyways. So I'm going to tell you about one of my first days of school and why first days of school for me are emotional, and I try to make them as impactful as possible. So if you haven't listened to the podcast before, you don't know a lot of my content. My family has dealt with mental disease for generations. I don't like calling it mental disease. It sounds like just mental things. Okay. And my mom, having the life that she did, suffered from a lot. And when I was in second grade, she had a complete nervous breakdown. I'm talking mental nervous breakdown. She was hospitalized for months. We had family that came and stayed with my brother and I. And at the time she had my breakdown, my dad was actually working on the other side of the world in Saudi Arabia on a 2-year contract for his job. He was an engineer. He is an engineer. He didn't suddenly not become one, but he's an engineer. And we had just moved from Southern California to Northern California for what would be like one of the like 6 times we did that. Move to Southern, move to Northern, move to Southern, move. Anyways, it was the first day of school. And it was a new school. And I knew nobody there. And I had just left my very best friend, Brittany. And actually, her mom was the one that was up, my Aunt Kim. I called her my Aunt Kim because Brittany and my Aunt Kim, she was a single mom, one of the most amazing women you'll ever meet. The reason that I adore single moms so much and admire them is because Kim literally set the bar for just being a badass butterfly. And so they lived with Kim's mom and dad and Mimi and Pop Pop. And so Brittany was staying with them so my Aunt Kim could come stay with us because my mom was her best friend. And I went to that first day of school and I was scared and I was terrified. I knew nobody. It was a new school. These kids had been together since kindergarten. And I just remember feeling really sad. Because I had social anxiety. I still do. I just really pretend so much better now. I have better skills. And I think of that Amanda now. I think of little Amanda. That's who I picture. I think of little Amanda in second grade. And I think of what I would tell her. And I think of letting her know that when her daughter went into second grade, sorry, that again, her mom wouldn't be there. And it's weird how things, when you are a kid and then you become adult, like, see, my mom wasn't there for my second grade, but I always pictured, you know, as I grew that my mom would be there, but life didn't allow for that. And so when I tell you guys, so today when I sent Lynn into second grade, it was this really happy, encouraging moment. Because 6 months ago, you guys, I was in a really hard place because I was happy and joyful and all these things. That was all authentic, but I hadn't dealt with a lot of the grief and the trauma that I had had that I didn't really see that way, right? I just saw it as life. Just you do, people go through things, right? Like they get over it, you go through things. But today when London headed off to second grade, I was filled with a lot of joy and gratefulness for getting to be there. And when I tell you that our life is framed by our experience and our views and the things we do, this is what I mean. See, because I might get in a conversation with another mom and I might start crying about it being my second grader's first day of school, and they may not understand that. What's wrong with you? Your kid's been in school for so long. But what people don't see is the back end of our experience. That my encouragement at Lennon going to school for second grade and me getting to be there and me cheering her on and me walking, watching her walk off with me there. My encouragement is not somebody else's discouragement. My view on mom life is not the end all be all. But I do want to share it because I truly believe that there's a lot of paradigm shifting we could do in that. And if my experience in my framework, in my view, in the kaleidoscope of life can help anybody else, I'm going to share it. I'm going to tell you that being a caterpillar is great, but a bad bitch butterfly is cool. I'm going to tell you that your encouragement doesn't have to be, you know, their discouragement. And I'm going to tell you that they're not giving you a hard time. They're having a hard time. Because as I learn these things, I want to share. And whether or not you're a mom, I hope that this episode encouraged you. And whether or not you got this from your parents, I want you to know I cheer you all on your first day of school. And whether your inner child is happy or sad as your children go through memories and create new things that bring about feelings for you, I got you, boo. So, my work call starts in 8 minutes. This is perfect timing. I want to tell you, if no one has told you lately, that you are loved and you are valued, that you have exponential and limitless potential, that who someone said you were is not who you will be, and who you think you are doesn't have to be who you will be. I want to tell you, if no one has told you lately, that I love you, and gosh, I'm grateful you're here. And if you listen to this and this encouraged you, please share. Please let me know. Tag me. I love seeing it. Gosh, you guys, I get excited. And if you think this would encourage someone else, please share it with them. I love you so much. I really do. And one day I'm going to get to squeeze you. All right. I hope you have the best Wednesday, and I will catch you on the flippity flip.